Let's dance. Let's dance. Welcome to the Pungies Podcast, episode 632, I think. Is this 632? And we are back at full power. Full power. And by full power, I mean Em is doing most of the work and I'm just talking. Full power. And so, Em Moore, how are you doing? What's happening? What's going on? What's going on in the world, Em Moore? What's going on in Canada?
Ooh, Canada. Well, I turned 24.
Happy birthday. What did you do for your birthday?
Thank you. We went to the zoo and walked around, which was fun to like get outside and see what's going on. Because they were supposed to have like dwarf alligators. But they haven't hatched, I don't think, yet. So it was just like, here will be dwarf alligators in the future. Because one of the places is one of the only like free zoos left. You don't have to pay admission. So it's nice just to go and kind of walk around because they have different grounds and stuff. And then got Chinese takeout, and it was just like a nice, you know, low-key chill day with my parents.
What'd you get for your birthday?
Oh, I got a little froggy dude. He is called Forg, and
well, a live frog or like a plastic thing?
It's a like ceramic little dude.
Ah.
It's like a pencil holder. He's very cool. So well,
happy birthday, Emor. What are your goals for Thanks. This year? What are you planning to do?
Ooh, well, everything is a rung on my ladder to world domination. So this year, really solidifying some of those. Want to do a lot more like interviews and different writing stuff. And I was recently told that I should start a band. So that might be a thing. I'm not really sure yet.
You should start a band.
It would be so fun. Like, I would be so up for it. It would just be screaming and it'd be awesome.
Do it.
So see, now I have you too. So that's two people. So it's a sign. I will somehow begin a musical career because that'd be super, super cool. And yeah, there's some new thing that's going to be popping up in the next couple months soon. Gonna have like business cards printed, so pretty excited for that. Don't want to jinx anything, so yes, we're making big strides towards the ultimate goal this year, hopefully. Okay. Knock on all the wood, just yeah.
Well, sounds exciting. So anyways, let's talk some new. If you're listening to this tonight, tomorrow is the Philadelphia Record Freakout, which is the first record fair slash swap that we are doing here at Punk News, and hopefully it's going to become a regular thing. If it's popular, we will make it a regular thing, and if it's not popular, we will not do it again. So let's make it popular. Last night and today, yesterday afternoon, I was making my playlist, not my playlist, my DJ mixes that are going to be playing because we're not going to have a live DJ. So the DJ mixes go everywhere from The Clash to Dolly Parton to Madonna to Lips Incorporated to Beastie Boys to Schoolie D to Dog Party to The Dwarves to Froggy to The Melvins to Eddie and the Hot Rods to Eddie and the Subtitles and many, many more. They're all over the place. And if I do say so myself, they kick. And speaking of things that are not kicking, Bamboozle Fest. It's dead. Bamboozle Fest was supposed to be next week, and they had a real big lineup. Some Punk News favorites that were going to be there were going to be The Garden, Scal. It's hard for me to figure out who else because they deleted all their social media entirely.
The Acacia Strain was going to be playing. There's a Punk News post about it.
Limp Bizkit, Mind Force, End It, Mayday Parade, Sourson, Palisades, Say Anything, Save the Day. So a lot of emo-ish type stuff. It out of the blue, it ended today. The reason they gave was that they could not get the permits processed to have the event next week. When this kind of thing, you have these permits months and months, even years in advance. Atlantic City said, well, they were concerned because the Bamboozle organizers didn't turn in any paperwork that they needed at all. And they kept saying, we need paperwork, and Bamboozle Fest would not turn it in. Now, that can mean a lot of things. That can mean that they just didn't turn in paperwork, which is kind of inexcusable, or doesn't mean they didn't pay the fee or the bond to get a permit for a large-scale music festival. I don't know. Nobody's talking. But Bamboozle Fest was a huge fest in New Jersey 20 years ago. And it was like a big thing. It was kind of like Warped Tour, but for New Jersey. And this was kind of coming back. I will say the lineup was kind of odd. I realized that to some degree, Limp Bizkit is having kind of this retro renaissance where people are like, oh, actually, Limp Bizkit was good. No, Limp Bizkit was not good. But people are saying they were for some reason. But also, you know, bands like The Garden, Scow, and also a lot of these mid-period, like late 90s, early 2000 emo or emo-ish bands like Save the Day and Salton and all those bands. So the lineup was real odd. I actually didn't really see any like super banger headliner. It all seemed to be kind of midliners. And if Limp Bizkit is your headliner, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, man. It seems odd to me. I don't know if they just weren't selling hardly any tickets or if it really was a permit thing. You would think that if it was going to be profitable, they would have found a way to get the paperwork in. So this is just me guessing, but I think that sort of answers the question. Emma, what do you think? And what do you think of Limp Bizkit headlining a festival in 2023?
I would not personally go see a Limp Bizkit headlining tour or headlining.
Not even though Scow and the Garden were playing?
Like, that would be you buy a ticket, you go, you see the openers, and you leave. And it's kind of like, I'd rather see them on a show where you're going to see more of them instead of, you know, just like a couple minutes, I guess. So I do one of those because I'd feel so weird like showing up and then leaving before the headliners.
Well, why? I mean, why? If it's Limp Bizkit, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like,
but like, I've already given them money.
Yeah, but I mean, look at it. Let me give you an example. I don't drink beer, but my friends drink beer. And one time we were at Barcade in Philadelphia, a great place in Philadelphia. There's a few Barcades, but where you can play like late 80s and early 90s video games and buy beer.
Cool.
And my friend bought like a $12 beer, and it was like this super thick, like syrupy thing. And it was absolutely horrible. I mean, I didn't have it, but like all my friends were like, oh my God, this is absolutely horrible. I think it was like one of these beers where you like you drink to impress other people when actually it's terrible. And so my friend was like drinking it, and my other friend says like, you've already spent the $12. Like drinking it doesn't make you not have spent the $12. You're just punishing yourself. So we let that one go. The point being, it's like if the money's worth seeing Scal or Maddie Grace or whoever, then who cares if you don't stick around for Limp Bizkit? I mean, I've certainly left festivals before the headliner played because I didn't care about the headliner. I left Punk Rock Bowling early to go to the club shows, you know?
Yeah, but that's you're going to another show, you know? Like, you're not, like, just leaving.
So you would stick around to see Limp Bizkit even though you don't care about Limp Bizkit?
Well,
I would stick around to see what the deal is about, honestly, you know?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure it would be bad, you know, but...
Yeah, like you're going to have an experience one way or another. So if I bought the ticket, I would have to be there for like start to finish. Like that's the other thing. I don't understand people skipping openers because openers are really cool. And even if they suck, then you can say like, oh, I saw, you know, this band when they were just coming up, or you wouldn't believe what, you know what I mean? Like you get to see a lot of different stuff and it's really cool. Yeah, go and see all the bands.
But on the other hand, if it's like a noon to midnight concert, you know what I mean?
Oh, well.
And you don't really care about the openers. You know, sometimes you do need to conserve the energy, especially if it's that one of these festivals that's in like a parking lot where there's like no shade or whatever. That is brutal.
Is that where Bamboozle Fest was going to happen? Was it
I don't know. I don't know because I've never been there. I do know that when they did Punk Rock Bowling in Asbury Park, it was rough because it was completely outside. And there was like an inside area, but you couldn't see the music. And it, like there was no chairs. It was just like really uncomfortable, you know? You know, it can be rough when you're out there in the sun. I don't know about new Punk Rock Bowling, but old Punk Rock Bowling was real cool because they had faux grass and like these tents you could sit under, which were great, you know? But I don't know about new Punk Rock Bowling. So at any rate, I mean, what do you think the cause of the failure was, Em? And are you surprised by the failure? Because I am very surprised by the failure.
Well, it was one of those things where I read the statement. And it's like, oh, well, they didn't give us the permits. And same thing, just something went off. Cause it's like, again, like you said, you have that booked so far in advance, like did something happen that they revoked the permits? Were they just like a little scrambled and completely forgot about it? Are the permits just like a red herring? Is there something bigger going on here? Like, would it be a case of like people weren't buying tickets or like something like that? But again, with the amount of bands playing and like the kind of eclectic mix of them, like you have some really cool bands, like you said, like Scowl and like Callous Dowboys and like all sorts of like bands that people would want to see. You don't really have headliners, but you have a lot of like super cool bands that, again, people would want to see. Like, were the tickets expensive when they were on sale? Like, you know, there's too many questions to do that. And especially because this was going to be the first Bamboozle Fest since 2012, I thought that there would be more like concrete things put in, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, everything again would be so far in advance locked in. It's hard to know. I think a lot of things could go wrong with planning a festival. But in this case, it's hard to say what did.
Do you think there's dirty dogging on the side of the city?
If they were like, oh, well, we don't want this here.
Or do you think, you know, somebody's got some, got to get some things greased. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Maybe it's like you've been out of the game for a while. Do you want to really come back, you know, kind of thing?
I despite that, I just threw that idea out there. I think no, because I think if that was the case, they would put a statement, we tried to work with Atlantic City, but yeah, they weren't willing to, you know, something like that. So I think it's either just pure mismanagement or pure mismanagement and very poor ticket sales. And also probably Atlantic City probably maybe asks for New Jersey and Philly, but New Jersey is famous for, you know, requiring a great deal of money for permits and that kind of stuff. And like, I believe in Atlantic City, I mean, I'm sorry, in Asbury Park, the problem was is you have to use city people, the city's employees to like set stuff up, which can be a real, you know, difficult thing to do. So maybe that's there too. I don't know. You know, so with that being said, sure. I'm sure low ticket sales are a big part of it, because if you were making tons of money, wouldn't you figure out a way to power through anyways? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if you had to move venues or you had to move like something around.
Or even if the city's being a pain in the ass, you still like, well, listen, I'm making $2 million personally, or $1 million, or $300,000. So I'm just gonna take the beating and get the cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyways, Bamboozle Fest looks like a real bamboozle. sort of like, what was that fest that people are still having problems with that like totally collapsed?
Firefest?
The punk version of Firefest. Destination Chaos.
Yeah.
People are still haven't gotten their money back. Like that one, really? Total shambles. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
So there's a lot of problems going on there. But here's something that isn't a lot of problems. Here's something that's rad. Crass is re-releasing Bullshit Detectors 1, 2, and 3. Bullshit Detectors were the famous comps released by Crass Records in the early 80s. And basically, they took all the tapes that were sent to them, cherry-picked, I guess, arguably the best, and made these huge single and double disc comps. The Bullshit Detector comps are very hit or miss in quality, but when they hit, they hit, and when they're not as good, it's still kind of good because it's first wave anarcho punk. So even though it's generic and not that interesting, it's still kind of cool because it's first wave anarcho punk. But also famously, they had the very first appearances of Chumbawamba, Napalm Death, Omega Tribe, ADT, Amoebix, and a lot of other very, very cool bands and some boring bands. So honestly, I'm very surprised that they're reissuing this. I guess Crass is kind of assuming that whoever sends stuff into them, they have the rights to, which I guess does make sense. Interestingly, other comps, which we can talk about, have been hampered because the rights weren't as clear. And I don't even think it's necessarily clear here, but honestly, if you're suing Crass because you sent them a demo tape in 1979, you're kind of an asshole. You know what I mean? like no one's making tons of money off it. It's cool these are getting reissued. I've got the originals, but it's still cool that these are coming out. Hopefully they're going to be remastered because some of the tracks actually, I don't know if you could remaster this because they were just taken from cassette tape sent into them. So how do you remaster a single track cassette tape? You kind of can't. I mean, well, you can remaster it, but you can remaster, but you can't remix it. So, So I don't know, man. Anyway, it's cool. I love these comps. The cool thing about the comps is Penny Rimbaud, like he strung the tracks together and he puts like tiny skits or sound effects in between a lot of the stuff. So it's got a whole flow to it. And also, of course, famously, Chumbawamba has a song called Garage. Well, actually, it's Bafo of Chumbawamba. He's got a track called Garage Land, which is probably the first ever Clash disc record.
Why? What is it? I haven't heard the song.
Oh,
describe the diss track.
Oh, it's just him saying the Clash are rock stars and making fun of the Clash.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like he's saying, nice. You know, the Clash signed to a giant label and now they're not a garage band and they're rich rock stars and that's who they are. So although but all of Chumbawamba actually really did like the Clash.
Oh, so it's like you've betrayed us.
Not even. I think it's sort of tongue-in-cheek. Actually, I know it's sort of tongue-in-cheek because I've interviewed Chumbawamba about this exact issue. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's also kind of, I mean, they were like 17, so they're just taking shots at whoever the target is, like even without any, you know, so yes. The criticism is valid, but they still do like the Clash, you know?
Right.
So that's coming out, and that's going to be kind of cool. Tell us about Susie True.
Yes, Susie True are a really cool band, and if you haven't listened to them, you should go listen to them right now because they're doing cool things, and they're one of the cool new bands. Well, they're not really new. They've been around for a while. They're one of the cool bands doing really neat stuff that everyone should be paying attention to. They do kind of like punkish pop stuff and like...
You mean grunge, Em? Do you mean you grunge?
No, they do punkish pop. There is a difference. this is my hill. Probably bits of grunge, but it's like punky bubblegum stuff. Some of it's like a bit heavier. It's great. They're really cool. So anyways, they announced that they're going to be releasing a new album. It's called Sentimental Scum, and it's out June 30th on Get Better Records.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. They put out their first album, Saddest Girl at the Party, in 2022, or in 2020, like, as well. So that's really cool. The album art is really, like, cool. It was done by, I think, Creepy Girls. I'll triple check that, but like done by a really cool artist, and like just fits them really well. Creepy Gals did the cover. Super cool artist. Go check them out. But yes, it's so cool. And then they released a video for their new song, Keep in Touch, and it was directed by Ray Mystic. So I love what like they do with light and color. Like it looks so cool. And the band looks like they're having a lot of fun and they're shooting in like basketball courts and gardens and like a house that has kind of modern Victorian furniture kind of thing and stairs and like gold tea sets and stuff. Like it has really cool vibes. The song's super catchy and it does that thing where it's like, it's very poppy and then it gets like a bit heavier and there's a bit of screaming and it's great. Really, really like the song, and I'm looking forward to the album so much. The outfits in the video too are super cool. So, and they just look like they're having so much fun, which, you know, we need right now. Just it's good to see and good to be able to celebrate that. So, John, what do you make of Susie True?
Well, there's a lot of bands doing the neo grunge thing right now. And I like Susie True a lot. I think they're good. I like how they float between very light sounding and then do that very chomp, chompa, 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 chugga, chugga, yeah, chugga sound. I think they're cool. And I'm excited to check this out. Get Better Records is a cool label for sure. And yeah. I'm excited to check it out. So, yeah. So there.
Cool people doing cool things.
Do you want to play some Susie True right now, Amor?
Yes. Let's play the new song. Let's play Keep in Touch. Thank you.
And that was Susie True saying, keep in touch. Here's something that I don't want to keep in touch with on any side of the equation. Travis Barker of Blink-182 has partnered with Liquid Death to release an Enema kit inspired by Blink's 1999 album, Enema of the State. It comes with a custom-branded bulb and a can of Liquid Death signed by Travis. It also comes with a disclaimer that it's not a real Enema kit and you shouldn't actually use it. Well, Emma, you're laughing. So what – I mean – Is this a joke, first of all, or can you actually buy this?
It sold out.
Oh, it did?
It sold out within, like, a day. Like, it sold out well within 24 hours.
How much did it cost?
$182.
Wow. For a friggin' wow. What a ripoff.
And you can't even use it.
I enjoy the joke. I think the joke is actually kind of funny. Doesn't say much for their water though. But I guess they paid $182 for a can and a 99-cent bulb.
No, it's insane. A signed can. Come on, signed can.
So is Travis Barker's signature worth $175?
Probably not.
Man, that's kind of lame. I mean, I gotta say, like as much as people like, you know, attack the Clash or the Ramones, or they're not punk. Like Blink-182 is, I mean, he's straight up ripping off his fan. I mean, that's a ripoff. I mean, it's like. He knows his fans will pay for whatever, for any tiny figment of whatever he is, they'll pay whatever. Kind of the same thing with Tim Armstrong's horrible paintings, which are not good, and he sells for like $1,000 or more. He's basically trading his fans for a cash machine. If he wants to sell this for like, I don't know, $30 or $40, but almost $200 for a joke. That's ridiculous, and that's not cool. I think Travis Barker's a tool. I think Liquid Death is a tool. But what do I know? They both have sold millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I will say I am ashamed But I mean, Liquid Death is such a dumb product. It is literally tap water in a can. And the whole value is the name Liquid Death. Like, if they just called it, like, Frank Springwater, no one would give a shit, you know? But because they call it Liquid Death, like, it's I can't believe people spend $5 for a can of water, which people do. I can't believe it. I guess I can believe it. But, I mean, I can't believe that this brand is so huge. And it just goes to show you how powerful trademarks are. The entirety of this brand is literally just the name. And I guess from a pure business standpoint, I got to say kudos on them for really capitalizing on that and really figuring out how to make money from literally just a trademark, which is, man, wow. I mean, really, that's all this is. How many other water companies are there? It's amazing. So I think it's a dumb product, but kudos on them for selling it. Travis, though, should know better. He should know that, that for whatever reason, even though Blink is a terrible band, that the fans are desperate for anything Blink. And those, I mean, I don't know why people think Travis Barker is a good drummer. He drums fast and he drums hard, but he has no sense of songcraft. He always drums the exact same way on every single track ever. And he goes boom, 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 bap, 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 boom, 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 bap. He overdrums, and anybody can do that. And he's just not a great drummer. He has no sense of song or artistry whatsoever. But people love the guy. I don't know. And what's your take?
Well, when I first saw this, I thought it was real. I thought they were selling an actual enema kit, and I was like, oh wow, good for them.
What is it?
It's just an art piece. You can't use it.
Oh, okay. Well, do you that's what you care about?
Well, like, okay. If you are in dire need of that, you know, like, you need one that
works. You need one at the drugstore for like $2.99.
But you don't get one that makes you feel cool, you see?
Emma, I think that's the funniest thing you've ever said, ever.
Thank you. Yes. My stand-up special coming next week. But... yeah, and then, like, reading it, and it's, like, it's just an art piece. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And then it's inspired by Enema of the State. It's called Enema of the State, like, all that kind of stuff. There is nothing Enema of the State about it. Like, it doesn't come with the gloves or any sort of, like, album. Like, I know the whole point is it's an enema. Like, I get that. But it's, like, come on. Like, you could have made it really cool.
You're saying
exactly. Yeah. You could have done a lot more with it and made it like really funny and really cool, you know. And this, like, yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I get the joke or whatever. People aren't going to read the disclaimer, and some people are going to try to use it. And
no one's going to use this. People that are buying this are going to leave it in the box and put it on their shelf, and that's that.
You want to bet?
Yeah. Why? Do you know someone that used it?
I don't. I don't wish I did, but.
Did someone call you up and say, Em, I'm using this new enema kit. Listen while I use it.
Oh, see, that would be perfect for the opening of my album. Just have that, and then people going, what is happening? But no, like, there's always somebody who's gonna give it a go, you know, like somebody's gonna be like, why the hell not? There's gonna be something, like. That's what I think. I know they put the disclaimer in. I know it's like, don't actually use this, but people do strange things. And I wouldn't doubt if somebody tried. So yeah, I mean, like, just how fast it sold out too, and to have it be like $182. And I mean, I get it's the Blink thing or whatever, but it's not really Blink. Like, it's just Travis Barker, and it's Liquid Death. Like, the bulb says Liquid Death on it. The can is signed. Like, that's literally all you're getting. And the box it comes in. But, like, I don't know. That's it. Liquid Death, I've never tried it. I don't know.
It's water.
I know, but they have, like, flavors and stuff. I think some of the cans look cool. I think it's a good thing for, you know, if you're like sober at shows and you want a can, I mean, yay, but it doesn't need to be that expensive.
I think if you're sober at a show, you shouldn't need the can to feel good about yourself. I think you can always just get a ginger ale and say it's, you know, whatever, but still, I think the joke is funny, but I think the price is obscene, and I think the product is obscene, and Travis Barker sucks. Anyways, here's something that doesn't suck. Here's something that we do need. Alice Cooper, the band, are reissuing the seminal albums Killer and School's Out. Finally, I've been waiting for this for 25 years. Astoundingly, there's only ever been the CD has been printed many different times, but it's always like that late 80s mastering when they really weren't that good at making CDs yet. So finally, we're getting the super deluxe version that comes with the full album remastered and remixed. Or actually, I don't know if it's remixed, but remastered. And also a famous live show in Mexico for Killer. And School's Out also has a live show from the era, which is fantastic because for a long, long time, there really weren't that many good or any live records from the original band era. Now there's a few. The first one to be released was the Billion Dollar Babies deluxe reissue. And so finally we're getting the Killer and School's Out reissue. Both of those albums are some of the greatest albums of all time. I haven't ordered this yet, but I'm probably going to tonight. I'm probably going to be a total sucker and get all the CDs and all the LPs. The LPs a little overpriced, honestly, about $80. But then on the other hand, I think Killer does come with the calendar. And I think School's Out famously comes with the panties around the record, which is amusing. I don't know if it's $90 amusing, especially since I've got an original. But anyways, I'm so glad this is coming out. I might go see Alice Cooper on Sunday if I can swing it. He's kind of far away and I got something else going on during the day. So I'm probably not going to be able to make it. So I'll sing with Rob Zombie, but I think it's going to be a different set. At any rate, this is one of the great, these are two of the greatest albums of all time. And I'm so psyched that these are finally coming out and this is rad. And more, do you have a stance on Alice Cooper?
I like Alice Cooper's stage show from what I've seen of it. Like, it's something that I definitely would want to go see because, like, he does all sorts of like neat stuff. Like he gets like decapitated by a guillotine. Like there's all sorts of like just rad things. Like I remember watching like documentaries about like shock rock and different things and just seeing the footage. And it's like, oh my God, like that's really, really cool. And like the drama of it and like everything, like it's just rad. And like that he's still doing stuff like that, like that's super cool. School's Out was definitely like pretty much every year after, like, you know, going into summer vacation, it was just blasting the song. So fond memories. It's cool that he's like doing new stuff too. I didn't check out the most recent one, but yeah, I like the stage show.
His most recent album is actually his best one in a long, long time. The most recent one called Detroit Stories, and it really is his best. I mean, Alice's post Welcome to My Nightmare albums are very hit or miss. Some, mm-hmm. I mean, none of them are bad, but a lot of them have bad tracks and some good tracks. Some of them are good all the way. Like Dada is awesome all the way through. Special Forces is pretty good. Some of the later ones, like Eyes of Alice Cooper, is not that great. Brutal Planet and Dragon Town are really not that great. But the newest one, Detroit Stories, was actually definitely his best since at least Dada. So a really good record. Also, he's got two new albums coming out. One's called Road, which is going to be his touring band, and it's unclear what the other one is. So cool thing about Alice, man, I mean, he's just always putting out albums. I mean, like he puts out an album almost every year, which is very cool. But the question there is, he puts out like so much music, but then sometimes you're like Alice, like, do you just like being in the studio? Because some, like the best example is Eyes of Alice Cooper, which is an okay album, but the songs are all very thin. Like there's not that much to them. And it's Alice, like, why did you just go into the studio and just like blast out a bunch of like 12 tracks that like none of which are really that interesting? You know, like, why do you spend, like, if you love recording and writing stuff and putting out records, why didn't you put more effort into this album? But, you know, I don't know, man. Who knows? Alice is going to do what Alice is going to do. Though if Detroit Stories is any actually, the thing with the Detroit Stories is he talked about that album for like 3 or 4 years. So he did put a lot of effort in that album, and it shows. So I hope the new ones are kind of the same way. At any rate, let's see. What else do we have to talk about today? I lost track of my new stories. Oh, Joe Jack Talcum. He's putting out an EP. Because Dead Milkmen are putting out a new record real soon in July. Joe Jack Talcum EP is also out in July via Power Tone, and it's the song Record Store, and Flat Earther, which we talked about a few years ago, that came out on a limited 3-inch record, and two more tracks. This is going to be a 7-inch version, and there's also going to be a record release show, which I might go to. So Joe's really cranking them out, the new Dead Milkmen record and a new EP. Emmore, are you a Dead Milkmen fan? Are you a Joe Jack fan? Do you care about this at all, or do you not care about this?
I like the Dead Milkmen. When we talked about the his EP a couple years ago, and we talked about it on the podcast, because I remember listening to it for that, it was really good. I enjoyed it. I haven't really gone back to it, and that's just because just listening habits have gone in a different direction lately. Like, that's really it. So it is exciting, and I'm looking forward to checking this one out too. I really like the EP artwork. It's very colorful. Like, the line drawings are really cool too. So yeah, all for this.
Well, there you go. Let's see. What else we have to talk about here? Oh, AJJ. And more, tell us about AJJ. Do you say AJJ? Do you say AJJ? How do you say it?
I usually just go AJJ. But
AJJ.
I say it once, and then afterwards, it's always the band.
Yeah.
Just because it's a little easier to say the band. I guess you could say Adge.
Adge? See, I say AJJ. That's how I AJJ. But it's not AJJ. It's AJJ.
It's together, but it's spaced. Yeah.
AJJ. AJJ.
See, this is, we need to have them on the podcast and be like, how do you pronounce your name?
I interviewed him once right before the big album came out. What was the big album for AJJ?
It wasn't Good Luck Everybody, was it? That was the most recent one. What was the...
Ooh. Oh, actually, it's before they changed their name. It was when they were Andrew Jackson Jihad. It was Christmas Island. I interviewed him about that album.
Ooh, how was it?
The interview, I mean, actually went well. I like Christmas Island a lot. I'm not a huge AJJ fan, but he was cool, and I do think Christmas Island. I mean, the other question is, I mean, AJJ was huge during that era. They were on Side One Dummy, and everyone was, and that's when Side One Dummy was still big, and then they collapsed not that long afterwards.
But they're putting new stuff out.
They are.
They have been.
I know they trickle like one record out a year and some reissues. I want to know what's going on inside One Dummy, because they were so big for about 5 years. They were like really big, and then they just totally collapsed like out of nowhere. And they like fired everybody, but now like once in a while they'll just like put out like some random record. I'm gonna see when the last Side One Dummy record. Anyway, the point being is, AJJ was real big at that time, like real big. I mean, not punk wise, not Taylor Swift wise, or Green Day wise, but they were punk wise, they were pretty big. I'm actually kind of surprised they're still a band, because it seemed like they're noticeably smaller, and most bands, once they get big and start to shrink again, kind of argue and fight and break apart, but it still seems like they're doing their thing. Do you think AJJ is over, M, or you think there's still a lot of AJJ to come, and are you an AJ fan, and did you dig this video? And Side One Dummy actually did put out a record this year. They did a Gaslight Anthem reissue. Oh, we should talk about that too on tonight's podcast. But they also put a record by a band called Microwave Plasma Canvas.
Oh, I've
heard the name Plasma Canvas. I don't know anything about this band.
We've talked about them on the site before. They're cool.
And they did a Go-Go Bordello reissue. So they put out two new records in 2023. Plasma Canvas and Microwave. I don't really know. And like last year, they just did like reissues. I don't know, man.
Interesting.
Doesn't look like anybody really cares about this band, Plasma Canvas, though, actually. They don't look that popular. I'm not commenting on the band. It doesn't look like they're very... So who's putting that at? Like why are they... Plasma Canvas, the loudest, gayest punk band in the world. That's their slogan.
They're interesting. When you
Side One Dummy is, no, I'm saying that is their slogan. I'm saying that's their slogan.
Oh no, I know. I'm just saying they are like kind of a cool band.
So, but I'm saying is like there wasn't like a big press campaign or anything. So like, why is Side One Dummy after being quiet for the past 3 or 4 years, saying, let's put out plasma canvas, but then like not making any deal, big deal out of it. You know what I mean? Like if you're coming back from the dead, you think you'd blow a bunch of horns, but they're not.
Maybe they just want to keep her like low key, like do a couple of things and just, you know,
The microwave record was a reissue, so that doesn't even count. So the only thing they put out this year was Plasma Canvas, and they kind of didn't make any noise about it. I mean, but what's the point? I mean, like, it's almost disrespectful to a band if you're going to put out their stuff but not make noise about it, because you're kind of squandering their chances where maybe someone else would have cared more, you know?
Interesting take.
So anyways, what were we talking about, Em?
Oh, AJJ.
AJJ. So, yes. So what did you think of the video, and what did you think of the band? AJJ.
When
AJJ. Oh no, that's what it is. AJJ. That like it's the font. That's what it is. Like the fonts. AJJ.
That's how they should be introduced all the time. That'd be so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Like I found out about them before they changed their name. And at that point in time, I was avidly reading punk news. I was super into Pup, and that's how I found out about them, because I don't know if Pup toured with them or if Pup just mentioned them on social media or something, but I ended up like checking them out and was like, oh, all these guys are pretty cool and making interesting things. And then I kind of like they were out of my orbit for a little bit, then like Good Luck Everybody came out and I checked out a bit of it and I didn't mind it, like I thought it was kind of cool. But I didn't end up, like, revisiting it really that much, which I probably should, and just see how it holds up, you know, as a song, what I remember it is and stuff. So, anyways, yeah, this video, it's for Candles of Love, and it's, like, a shot in kind of, like, a hazy way, like, mimicking candlelight. There's candles everywhere. There's, like, a middle-aged couple drinking some wine in the middle of the candles, and then, like, the band's playing around them, and there's a saxophone part in the song, and the person playing the saxophone, like, pops up from behind the couch and just starts, like, just wailing on it, which was so funny, because, like, didn't expect that at all. And the video kind of has, like, candle commercial vibes, which was... I thought kind of funny, because at the beginning I was like, oh well, this is just like kind of nice and cute, and I was like, oh no, is this gonna be sad? Please don't let it be sad. But yeah, and then, you know, you're listening a bit more to the lyrics, and the last line of the song is thank you capitalism, never stop making stuff. And then that made me see the video in a whole other light, because it's like, ha, they're making fun of things, which was cool. I really didn't mind the song. It wasn't my favorite song by any means, but it wasn't offensive. Like, you know, I listened to it and it wasn't like, ah, I have to turn it off. It was okay, cool. This is not what I thought it was gonna sound like. There's a saxophone, that's interesting. Saxophones always make things better. I like when bands throw things in that you're not really expecting. Like there's a band who does like hardcore stuff out of the UK I was recently introduced to, called Knives. They have like saxophone players, they have harpists, like it's wild, it's super cool. So big fan of that. And then like again with the last line, it's all, or the song's off their upcoming album Disposable Everything, and it's like, well, that makes sense, like, you know, it ties into the theme of the album. So that was cool. I'll probably check out the album, just see like how they've changed, what they're doing, how they've, what kind of songs they're making now. But yeah, that's my AJJ take.
Hey, what did you think I wanted to talk about, Em? I brought up
to talk about the Gaslight Anthem.
Oh yeah, they got a new album coming out. Em, do you care?
I do not know a lot about them, to be completely honest. I've never really listened to them. Well, actually, I shouldn't say never really. I've never listened to them, and I don't really know why. I just haven't. Nothing against them. Are you a big Gaslight Anthem fan?
Oh, Lord, no. No, but by all accounts, the main guy, Brian Fallon, is a nice guy. So I don't want to beat up him too bad. But I remember when I first got involved in punk news, like 2006, when I first got involved in punk news, I didn't know the world of punk in that, like, how expansive punk rock is. To me, when I first got into punk, like, punk was The Clash, the Sex Pistols, UK Subs, Black Flag, Dead Kennedys, Misfits, you know, pretty aggressive stuff. And I remember everyone, and like, I didn't understand the concept of orgcore, or I didn't know a lot about, like, about contemporary bands. Everyone was like, the Gaslight Anthem. And so I got that 7-inch EP, Senior and the Queen, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear this. Like, this is the punk record everyone's talking about. I can't wait to hear it. And I get it, and it's like Bruce Springsteen, like, Senior and the Queen, we're driving around on a Saturday night. And I'm like, this is what I'm like, this? Like, it was just so not what punk was to me at the time. And frankly, it's so not what punk is to me now. So I just never really understood why this is. Well, actually, I do know why this is punk, is because the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to be a total dick here, the fact of the matter is a lot of people like the word punk and the concept of punk, but what they really want is just radio rock. And by attaching punk or indie or whatever to what is just radio rock, people kind of feel like special, or you know, I've got taste, or I'm different than the crowd. And really, you're listening to exactly what the crowd is listening to. Except for now, the crowd isn't listening to Bruce Springsteen ripoffs, or listening to, you know, JPEG Mafia and stuff. But anyways, Gaslight Anthem were one of these bands that are, like, to me, are not punk at all. And it's fine if you like them. It's just, I never understood why they're associated with punk, except for I do, because I just explained it. But that connection always seems so tenuous to me. And if people like them, it's fine. It just, to me, is punk without any of the danger, weirdness, challenging, or intellectual thoughts. You know, it's just music meant to comfort, which isn't what I'm really into, honestly.
So what do you turn to when you, like, need comfort?
Men at Work. Wise? I love Men at Work. But actually, like, I had a really, really, really shitty job. 1, 2, 3 jobs ago. I mean, it was real shitty. And I was bummed out a lot. And I had to do a lot of driving. And so I would listen to Men at Work. But the problem is, I love Men at Work, is I started to associate bad times with Men at Work. So I had to stop listening to Men at Work. Ooh. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to, like, ruin Men at Work. So Men at Work made me reggae. Paradoxically I listen to angry music when I'm happy. When I'm happy, I love angry music.
Well, like, that makes sense, because then you can, like, experience it without, like, hatred, you know. You can just get the energy off of it.
That's what it is. Very true. How insightful.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see here.
So yeah, I am a philosopher.
Like, you are. It looks like a lot of the readers actually have turned on this band. I mean, they turned on this band to watch. Like, as is with any buzz band, maybe the dynamic is different now, but before five years ago or so, as with any buzz band, everyone loves them and says they're the absolute greatest, and then everyone turns on them, either because they're doing something different or because they're doing the same thing again. There's no winning. There's no winning, Em.
There's no. You can't appease the commenters.
So anyways, I don't know. And more, anything else we should talk about? Anything else we should cover?
Let's debate all of the world's problems and bring peace and solutions everywhere.
All right, let's start. What do you want to start debating with?
How about we go with the age-old question of why?
The answer is because. At any rate, there you go. What track should we play? Yes.
Do you want to play the Gaslight Anthem?
Because... No. I really should. Let's play some Alice Cooper. Let's play Alice Cooper, Halo of Flies, one of my very favorite Alice Cooper tracks. And honestly, like, I shouldn't beat on Gaslight Anthem as badly as I do. I mean, on one end, you're always torn. It's like, well, do you want to give an interesting perspective and not just say, it's fine, it's good, It's for some people. Like, you want to give an opinion, but then you don't want to be mean either. You know what I mean? Not that Brian Fallon cares about my opinion, because I think he's pretty rich. But at any rate, you know, but even if you're rich, your feelings can still get hurt. But it's just not for me. You know, it's just really not for me. And really, that is why a lot of the commenters do appear to hate me, is that, like, I'm not into the hot water music, Gaslight Anthem, raggedy voice, and, you know, melodic lines behind me. You know, like, I'm just not into that at all. And they are. And that's why there's that schism. And I actually, I will say, Amor, the commenters have been particularly negative lately. I mean, they're always
They're terrible.
Particularly negative. And it's like, what got up your crawl? Like, what's your problem, man? You know?
Oh, yeah. There was the absolute sweeties who said I should get a job at Tim Hortons, or my favorite was move to Canada and get pregnant.
But I like how you already live in Canada. Like
yeah, exactly. It was just like, wow, thanks for starting my day off on the right foot.
Well, Em, you know what? I barely read the commenters anymore, and every time I do, I'm still bummed out. So don't let that. Yeah. I mean, but always, like, like, you know, I'm getting dogged for throwing the record convention. I'm getting dogged for throwing the dwarf show. It's like, wait. You're annoyed that I'm throwing shows and record conventions and writing about punk. Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do in punk rock? Throw shows or be in a band?
And like, write about shit, like.
Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do? It's like, how are you annoyed by that? You know, but and you and I know full well the reason they're complaining is because they're, and this is not all the commenters, but.
Oh, you know, yeah, no, there's some great ones.
The percentage wise is getting slimmer. I mean, it's been particularly negative lately, and particularly negative.
Yeah, I know it's been.
But what I will say is because they're losers, and I mean this quite directly. I don't mean to tell you. I mean they're losers that have never tried to do anything in their life. They've only done what other people have done. There's a quote that I love that a lot of people do is, it might even be from like a movie. It's not even from like Aristotle. It's just some movie, or maybe even like The Simpsons or something. Is you shoot so low that if you fail, no one cares. You know what I mean? Like that's what a lot of these.
I like that.
And so, you know, Em, you and I swing for the fences, and sometimes we crash and burn, but a lot of times it's a success, you know. And so a lot of these people are jealous that they didn't try, or they didn't have the ideas, or they didn't have the energy. But what it is, and this is what it really comes down to, and then we'll kind of wrap this up, is a lot of these trollish commenters is they're not secure in themselves. They don't feel good about themselves. And so just like the Gaslight Anthem comforts, just like Hot One Music comforts, their whole existence, and I know this for a fact because I've met some trolls live in person, and I've seen who they are, and I'm never surprised. And actually, I saw one not that long ago, believe it or not, that I'll tell you about if podcast is over, if you want to know. But anyways,
yeah, definitely.
Is that they don't feel good about themselves, or at least they don't feel confident in themselves. So their whole existence is, how can I be in the crowd? How can I not stand out from the crowd? You know? And when they see someone trying, in part, they're ashamed because they didn't have the guts to do it, and they realize they're not doing anything special at all. But also, it's just something that they're like, I'm in the crowd, so I have to attack this person that's outside of the crowd because I want to make sure that I'm still in the crowd and no one points out my insecurities that I have that I'm guarded about. And that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's losers that are scared to try. And if there's one thing I really can't stomach, it's people that are scared to try. I hate that, Em. I hate that. I hate it when people have something cool going, or a cool idea, or there's something within grasp or might be in grasp, and people are too scared. Because the fact of the matter is, and then I'm going to shut up. The fact of the matter is, A, if you're tactical, you're going to win at least some of the time, right? Like if you're stupid about it, you're going to crash. But even when you crash and burn, then you just pick yourself up and get back in the race. You know what I mean?
There's something to learn from it.
Sometimes.
Oh, well, okay, yeah, not all the time, but
if
most
you look
times.
At Jello, if you, not everything he's done has been a success, but Jello's the freaking man. If you look at Keith Morris, not everything he's done has been a success, but Keith Morris is the freaking man. If you look at Nick Blinko, not everything he's done has been a total success, and Nick Blinko is as good as it gets. So you're going to crash and burn sometimes. Let go of the fear, and let go of the fear. Let's tell these creeps to let go of the fear and be themselves. And more, any closing words before we play Alice Cooper? who's crashed and burned a lot, but he's still in the race and putting out, actually doing maybe arguably some of his best live shows ever. I saw him about 2 years ago. It was absolutely phenomenal. And also putting out some great records. So just ask Alice. Just ask Alice. He's still in the race. And anytime he says stuff that I think might be a little politically questionable, I just pretend he didn't say it. And I just pretend I didn't hear it.
You just have the eraser comes out. It's gone.
Honestly, he hasn't said anything that I can't say is fun. Like, he hasn't said anything that bad. But sometimes he'll be like, I remember one time he's like, you know what would be really cool? A conservative punk band.
Oh, no.
Punk bands are liberal. But if there was a conservative punk band, that'd really be bucking the system. I'm like, Alex, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said ever. That's stupid, you know? But Or on his last album, he had a song called Shut Up and Rock, which I absolutely hate that song, particularly because the early Alice Cooper stuff was so political, or if not political, than commentary, social commentary. And anyway, I'm going off on tangent. Alice is the man. I love Alice. Yes. The only three interviews I really have left that I really, really want to do are Alice, Mick Jagger, and Danzig. And ooh, each of them, it's looking bleaker and bleaker, but that's all right. And Nick Blinko, I want to interview Nick Blinko too. But if I don't get to interview Nick, that's all right, because Nick's got his thing going on. And more. I probably never will, but I would love to interview Morrissey. I could get a really good interview if I interview Morrissey. Anyway, I'm bad. Take a chance. Read a book. Take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow. And more. Closing words before we play some Alice Cooper.
If you don't swing for the fences, what are you doing? Like, you have to take chances. Like, life is full of risks and what you're gonna do and what you're not gonna do. And don't shit on someone else's parade because it's not your thing, or because you're unhappy with yourself. Maybe there's the I'm sorry that you're in pain, and I hope that you find the help that and support that you the help and support that you deserve. There it is,
and we'll see you next week. Keep it together, don't fall apart like Bamboozle Fest. We'll see you next week.
I still did destroy her. And I will smash Halo 1.